Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Laurie and Julia show for your hump day on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. Tomorrow is a different story.
On the road again.
Ah, that's correct.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Yes, we're on the road at Row Wolf, the Galleria in Edina. And that is a food for family stop. So if you're going to come by and see us at Row Wolf tomorrow in Edina, if you could bring a non-perishable food item, we'd also accept a check as a donation to Second Harvest Heartland.
Okay. Thank you so much, Donna Love. So last night, Cher was on James Corden. He's doing a show from London.
Yes.
And they play, Spill Your Guts or Eat All the Bad Food, whatever that game is called. Spill Your Guts or Answer the Question.
Spill Your Guts or Eat Something.
It's Spill Your
Guts. Disgusting. It's disgusting. So, of course, I love it that she does revisit her sexy time with Tom Cruise. And I was ready for it. And I was so glad that James Corden, because she did famously date him.
Yes, they did. So what they do is they ask each other really hard questions, and if they don't want to answer the question, they have to eat like an eyeball egg
or cow's
thing,
tongue and all this, all this gross stuff. So here's Cher answering a question during Spill Your Guts.
Okay, Cher. You've said Tom Cruise is one of your top five favorite lovers. Who are the other four? It must be amazing if you won't even...
I don't even remember saying that.
Oh, but do you remember doing it?
Yup.
Really? And he went straight into the top five?
Well, no. I had to give ratings. And...
Yeah, sure. All right.
So she ate the dried caterpillar because she didn't answer
She didn't
question.
Want to answer any other one. When is Cher ever going to write a book about her love?
No kidding.
I mean, Barbara Streisand is struggling.
She's not getting much down on paper.
No, she isn't.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if it's because she didn't keep journals. She's doesn't want to dish, doesn't want to say enough. I don't know what it is.
Maybe she doesn't want to offend her husband, James Corden.
And also when Cher said that about Tom Cruise, it wasn't long after she dated Tom Cruise, and she's since dated people, because I feel like she was like maybe in her 40s when she dated Tom Cruise, and he was
in his 20s. She said that on Andy Cohen's show. I thought that was the first time we heard that.
We've heard that before. Yeah.
Okay.
She also puts the bagel guy right up there.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Camilletti.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah. I love that you remember that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
New York City.
Here's James Corden asking her, and the other woman who was sitting down on the couch with him last night was the woman who created and wrote Killing Eve.
Yes.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
And so she also stars in Fleabag.
Yes. I always forget that's same her, gal. Right. Okay, let's play this one. Would Cher ever try online dating?
I read, Cher, and I want you to tell me
if
this is true.
I thought we were finished with that game.
No. Finished with that game. This is a new part of the game. I've read that you are open to the idea of online dating. Is this true? Have you ever tried it? Would you ever try it?
No.
Really?
Yes.
You'd never try online dating?
No, I never have. I never would.
Why?
Because it's like, picture, share. I'm open and ready and... Come on, everybody, come on in.
Well, you are.
You'd be very well out of it.
Yeah. I mean, that is certainly a hell of a profile.
Right. I mean, like, what do you say?
Hi, everyone. I'm Cher. I'm open and ready.
Right.
Good luck competing with Tom Cruise. That's what I would say.
She does. She's too popular.
Yeah.
She, you can't do that. She needs to have people set her up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then here's a story, because, of course, he was talking about Mamma Mia, and they showed a clip of her singing Fernando
right
to Andy Garcia with a beard.
Yes.
And with her blonde wig, and she plays Meryl Streep's mother in Mamma Mia.
Even though they're only 3 years apart in age.
Right, but the Meryl Streep that we see in the movie is like it's a flashback to a younger Meryl Streep or something. But here she is, a story, because remember, she and Meryl Streep go all the way back to Silkwood.
Yes. Which was the best
movie with Kurt Russell, true story. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just an incredible movie. So what was that, mid-80s?
Sounds about right.
About right? Yeah. So she and Meryl go way back. Yes. Here we go.
You and Meryl, you've been friends for a very long time.
Yes.
You once saved someone's life in New York.
Yes.
What happened?
Meryl was, she just had Mamie, and we were downtown at her apartment, and she said, I want some ice cream. And I said, okay. And I said, but is it dangerous down here? She said, no, it's Little Italy on one side and Chinatown on the other side, and we'll be safe as two peas in a pod. And so we walk out, and the first thing we see, some guy hitting cars with a brick. And then we walk down the street, and we hear screaming. And we come around the corner, and this gigantic man is ripping the clothes off of this girl. And Meryl starts screaming, and I start screaming, and we run towards this gigantic man, and he turns and starts running towards us.
Oh.
And just out of, I don't know, we split. And he ran through us, and then we went up to the girl, and all of her clothes were torn, and she was clutching her bag. And so we're putting her together, kind of trying to get her to look a little bit, you know, like she hasn't just been ravished. And she looks at us and she goes, oh my God, I was saved by Meryl Streep and Cher. I'm an actress and I work in a cafe where we sing, and all my friends are going to be so jealous.
Oh. I mean, you kind of think you...
would be the response if you were saved by Meryl Streep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Silkwood was 83.
It was.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting now, because we didn't, back in 83, obviously have like the Rotten Tomato meter. Mm-hmm. And they say that it has 75% critics. I mean, we loved
that. Was such a
that
great
was
movie.
Such a
it
great
was so
movie.
So powerful.
So it just kind of tells you.
It was her first nomination.
Yes,
for a supporting
she's so
actress.
Good.
She didn't win, but she was nominated.
No, but she was like, we didn't know that she could act like
that.
Yeah,
that
was amazing. So good.
Yeah. Okay. And then it was really a good night on late night last night. A lot of good guests. Josh Brolin showed off his wax chest to Stephen Colbert, and they had very funny chemistry together.
Oh, then I need to watch that.
Then you had, you know, Cher on with James Corden, and then over on Kimmel, Martin Short and Steve Martin they're still going around on their two-man show that they're taking theater to theater. So here they are just kind of clowning around with Jimmy Kimmel.
Marty, you've been here, how many times have you been here?
I've been here, I don't know, 15 maybe.
15 times.
Yeah.
Steve, this is your first
My
visit.
First time, and I'll tell you, I'm excited to be on the show because I didn't even know you had a show. So I come out and there you are, and I'm excited.
And let me say something.
Yes, go ahead, Marty. Yes.
No, really, you look fantastic.
Thank you so much.
No, you really do. That Just For Men beard dye, I didn't know it came in that color.
But, you know, by the way, since we're talking about manscaping, I have a new technique for trimming my nose hairs.
What is it?
I just take a deep whiff of Marty's cologne.
Speaking of which, someone got Febreze for Father's Day.
Okay.
No, but you look, really, you have the sex appeal of a middle-aged Rudy Giuliani.
I will take that as a great compliment.
The last time I was here, you looked... You were disheveled.
I was,
you,
really?
Oh, my God. You smiled and a hunk of makeup fell off. It was shocking.
That wasn't makeup. Yeah, it was leprosy.
No, two of the queer guys looked like they had just stormed out in mid-revival.
The queer guys? What queer guys?
Queer
with the eyes.
Queer
eye guys. Yeah, they're not the queer guys.
You know? Thank you.
Queer eye guys.
He's from Canada. He doesn't know how it all works.
Yeah. But thank you for offending half the nation.
Do you remember when we talked to him?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm in love with him.
I would have loved to have gone to see that show when they were at the Orpheum or State or whatever.
Watch it on Netflix.
Oh, that's right. They have it on.
I saw it. It's really funny.
Is it good?
Yes,
okay,
you
and it was just filmed at one of their shows.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, I love them.
I do too. They're very, Martin Short is so fast. Casey and I were watching the interview this morning and making my salad. He's just like, my gosh, that Martin Short is so bam, 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 bam. Oh, he's darling. So he's a darling, darling man.
Yes, he really is.
We have one more.
Okay.
Here we go.
I am in New York more because I have a child who goes to school.
Oh.
And it was an option. Sending to school. And I, you know, I went to the, I had to get a new doctor. So I went to a new doctor and they have to take out all the, take down all the new information.
Yeah.
So the nurse is there. It was a female nurse in this case asking me, you know, she's asking me questions. She says, how old are you? And I thought, first of all, she doesn't have to know how old I am. So I said, I'm 52. And she said, oh, okay, good. And she said, so I suppose you're here to see the doctor about the extra 20 years on your face?
That's New York for you.
No, this is no, but you know what?
What,
you,
Marty?
No, she's going from, because you are extremely, almost this close to a corpse as far as being pale. Oh, no. No, the SPF on his sunscreen is infinity. I mean, that's...
I want to tell you,
you make Mike Pence look like a character in Black Panther.
So silly.
And then they also talked about, they go to Tom Cruise's house every year and have a colonoscopy party.
No, Tom Hanks.
Oh, Tom Hanks. Thank
Tom
you.
Hanks. Tom They've Hanks. Told that story before. Yikes. I'm like, don't mix those one. Guys up with Tom Cruise.
But just how funny is that? Oh, they're just so funny.
They are. Love, so, you know, him. Yesterday we were talking about, has the song of the summer hit? Have we heard it yet? On Billboard Hot 100, so the Cardi B song, I Like It.
I have it right here.
Yeah, we like that song. I Like It. And Girls Like You, the Maroon 5 song featuring Cardi B, is a good one. I mean, that's in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's Ariana Grande tapping Nicki Minaj mm-hmm. for a new song that will be on her album, Sweetener. It's called The Light Is Coming. Let's see if this is going to give us anything. Because right now, Ariana's got No Tears Left to Cry.
Yes.
Which is, isn't that kind of ballady?
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see if this is going to be anything.
Okay, here we go.
No.
Yeah. And it's
not
coming out too late.
Not for me.
Okay,
well,
not for you.
Not for me.
Not for you. It doesn't come out until August 17th.
No, I am putting together a list.
Because
I still haven't found it yet. We have the new, you know, Paul McCartney songs, but we're going to play it later in the show.
Maybe.
No, I want to hear one now, then, Donnie, damn it. Play it. Play it. Can you play?
I can play. Yes. Okay, I'll play.
He's going to be on James Corden, the Carpool Karaoke. Yeah. Paul McCartney Friday. Is on Thursday.
Okay.
Okay, this one is called I Don't Know. Here we go. Crows at my window. Dogs at my door. I don't think I can take anymore. What am I doing wrong? I don't know.
This isn't it.
For Beatle fans,
right. I know. All right, let me hear the next one, Donnie. What's the name of the next one?
Come On to Me is the other
to
one.
Me.
His new album is called Egypt Station.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I saw you flash a smile that seemed to me to say you wanted so much more than casual conversation. I swear I. This one better.
Yeah, it is too.
All right.
Well, in honor of Paul McCartney, Vintage Scandal is going to be all about Paul McCartney's divorce from Heather.
Oh.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Wednesday Dirt Alert.
Dirt Alert time. Okay, I wanted to tell you about this, you guys. Rolling Stone put out a piece, and it just was posted online earlier today, talking about music's fentanyl crisis. And they go inside the drug that killed Prince and Tom Petty. That's the headline, music's fentanyl crisis. Prince's sister talks about this. Tom Petty's family is weighing in. And they really go into depth talking about...
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
How not only is this such a problem everywhere, I mean, fentanyl has emerged as the most dangerous new drug in a generation, but they're saying that the music industry is being so particularly impacted by this, that Tom Petty's overdose in many ways mirrored Prince's, which was a year and a half earlier. That Prince, of course, was taking the drug while dealing with a hip injury, same as Tom Petty.
Tom Petty, right.
Mm-hmm. And,
but then, he overdosed on fentanyl disguised as Vicodin.
Right.
Right. You're
Princeton.
Right.
Princeton. Yes, yep. Princeton.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people, if they are getting their Vicodin off the street, they're manufacturing Vicodin and Oxy out of fentanyl because it's cheaper to make it look like it's Oxy and Vicodin.
Yeah, yes.
Or probably Percocet, anything.
I know. You're absolutely right. Stevie Nicks talks about Tom Petty, saying that he was ill. He'd dealt with a severe pain from a fracture in his left hip, and he was fighting his way through his tour. He should have canceled and gone home and gone to the hospital, but not Tom. He was going to go down that river. They were using a golf cart to move him around backstage, and he was getting through it with painkillers. And then in October, a week after the final date at the Hollywood Bowl, he was dead. He'd accidentally overdosed, mixing a variety of medications, and the Petty family blamed fentanyl. He had a previous history of opioid abuse, but they say he'd been prescribed a fentanyl patch to help with his pain.
Okay.
But there is a... there were two other more dangerous derivatives of the drug also found in his system. And there's a doctor at the National Institute on Drug Abuse who says those two drugs are illicit. Those you very likely get on the black market.
Right.
So even though he had the prescription fentanyl patch, there were other things in his system that are illegal, according to this particular doctor.
We're enchanted with your amazing eyelashes.
I know. I'm looking at them right now.
Did
What's
you just
going
get
on?
Extensions?
No, or do you know what they are?
What are they?
Are they the magnet ones?
The magnetic ones.
Show us how they do it.
I am absolutely with the magnetic
Are these Ardell? The Ardell magnetic?
So my girlfriend gave them to me, and I have to. Are you going to take a picture, Julia?
Yeah.
I have to look up what the exact brand name is, but they come in a black case.
Yeah.
And you just you put one over your lash, and then you magnet underneath your lash the other one.
How
hard
was that? Sci-fi.
Look at me. Takes me like 2 seconds. It's so fast. And I am a person who's a total idiot when it comes to false eyelashes. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do the glue ones.
They're amazing.
They're amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Elizabeth, I saw them from the corner.
I know. I was like, I'm just enchanted.
I'm going to, do you care if I post this on Instagram?
No, you can post anything you want.
Oh, my gosh. That's so
because
cool.
Because we heard Ardell is making a magnetic. So if you can't afford these $80 glasses.
So these ones were, $70.
$70. And they weren't hard.
But they come with two pairs in the package.
And you can reuse them.
And you reuse them as my, and I've been reusing them for months. And I've been putting it on for TV. And then I wear them out on date nights and everything like that.
They're fantastic.
Thanks, girls.
I just can envision you popping up in the pool and opening your eyes.
I love
and
that.
And then your eyelashes are just like, hello.
That was my last summer. I didn't have to wear eye makeup because I had the lashes.
The only time I did the eyelash extensions, I went on a vacation and it was so much fun, like never having to put on any makeup.
I've never done the extensions, but I think I would like them. That being said, you have to get a fill every so often.
Yes.
And listen, ain't nobody got time for that for me. I mean, I can barely get my hair done. Okay, let's move on and talk about Justin Theroux. He says...
this is GQ interview?
It's Men's Health.
Men's Health,
close enough, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's talking about his career and how he's been able to navigate the hurdles that have come his way.
Oh, I married a really rich woman.
And a really famous woman, and my name became well known overnight.
That's right.
He says, I think doubt is a good thing. Justin Theroux goes on to say, we're all doubting whenever we set out to do anything new, but that's a motivating factor to try and make it good. It's destructive if you let it creep over the entire process, but I don't dwell. I doubt things, but I hope things too.
Okay. He is so edgy, I can't stand him.
What about if things aren't working? He says, I get up and do what I do. when I do things I don't necessarily want to do, or I get stuck in a situation where I'm like, oh, this was not the best choice, I'm still aware there's something to be gleaned from that experience.
You know what? That is a bunch of gobbledygook. It's I'm sorry. What is he saying? Does anyone know?
It sounds like he's like drinking the Scientology Kool-Aid, because that sounds like Scientology answers where there's so many words and you're not really saying anything.
Yeah, it's just absolute word salad. I think Jennifer Aniston should be glad. Can you imagine the conversation?
She's so relieved.
I think doubt is a good thing.
I know.
Really?
Why not just answer a question normally?
I know it.
Well, it's trying to sound smarter than you are.
Yeah, because he thinks he's this edgy, cool, hip New Yorker.
And he wears black all the time and you know, boots.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Boots, I know. Yeah. Leather jackets in the summer in the 80-degree heat.
I know. Okay, this is kind of funny that Shaquille O'Neal was on a panel, and Conan O'Brien is telling this story that they're on this panel, and they hear a loud crash, and they look over, and Shaq is getting up holding pieces of a chair.
Did the chair break under his
Because he's so dang big.
He's so big, and Conan O'Brien says... the insane part is we realize this is what happens to him four times a day. He was fixing it like a Rubik's Cube.
Can you imagine every chair you get on breaks?
I know. I never even thought of this.
He's huge.
This is really funny. Yeah. Chris Cuomo was moderating, and so he said he refused to quit on the chair, and he gets into this weird squatting position, and he's saying, peace, peace. And he just keeps
my God.
Putting the chair back together. I don't know why I found the telling of that story just to be so funny.
Because you're just thinking of the chair collapsing in 12 pieces, and will somebody get me a different chair, and then they pull out the...
It's just very funny.
Barstool.
He
can kind of lean against.
Yeah. I don't know. He said he has been able to do something in Cannes that he hasn't been able to do for 20 years, walk the streets and go shopping because no one knows who he is in France, is what Shaq has
lovely.
To say.
They're
so anyway, like, who is that tall guy?
I bet he plays basketball.
It's very funny. Right. Okay, I'm going to go bat my lashes at somebody else.
Elizabeth, thank you so much. When we come back, we are going to have vintage scandal. Yes, we are. And we're going to just be reminded of... some explosive things that happened with Paul McCartney when he was married to Heather Mills.
And fellas, you really need to up.
And then there was a scandal.
Vintage scandal.
It was quite the scandal.
Quite the scandal. Well, I just thought in honor of Sir Paul McCartney being on Carpool Karaoke and having his first album in 5 years coming out, I don't know, sometime in the summer.
October,
okay.
Or September.
September, whatever. Egypt Station is the name of it. I thought, let's revisit when, because he is all happily married to the trucking heiress, the cousin of Barbara Walters, Nancy Chevelle, his third marriage. And so we kind of forget that Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, a.k.a. Macca, as they like to call him the pond, these two had... quite an explosive relationship, to
say
the least.
We're not talking about Linda. We're talking about Paul and whom?
His second wife, Heather Mills.
Oh, she was a disaster.
It's considered one of the most explosive breakups in showbiz history. And their relationship was fraught with drama from the very first time they met in 1999 to their final day in divorce court, which was 2008. And
I didn't know it lasted that long, Laurie.
Yeah.
Tell everybody how they met.
Okay, so they first met at the Pride of Britain Awards in 1999. He was still mourning the loss of his first wife, Linda. They'd been married 29 years, and they got married in their early 20s. Mm-hmm. She died of breast cancer in 1998.
Okay.
Heather was engaged to this filmmaker named Chris Terrell, but she soon broke it off to be with Paul the Beatle.
As one would.
Okay, so she met him and he was still... This is why rebound relationships are always so tricky.
Right.
After divorce or death. They really are.
Because you really don't know what you want.
Because you can rebound into the arms of just somebody that is just absolutely not right for you. So, okay, another thing about Heather. She really, 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 really did not like his daughter Stella McCartney, and every week she felt that Stella tried to break up the marriage. She always accused Stella of being jealous of her relationship. She wasn't interested. This is, you know, Heather had said
they were the same age. Weren't they close to the same age, Lori?
Kind of. She said she's done evil things. Heather said this after. And she wasn't. And also, I think what Heather really's biggest complaint was with Stella McCartney is she would not give her more than 10% off of her clothing line.
Okay, that's kind of one of my favorite. But
Stella was on the record about that, okay, afterwards. And they did not like each other, but Heather really did not like her. Probably because Stella was giving her side eye because she was like, what are you doing? You're fake in love with my dad because he's a Beatle. Yeah.
Heather Mills, at the time, wasn't she on a reality show or she was trying to make something of herself when they even met that she was at the award show?
No. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what she was. She was somewhat known.
She was.
Okay, so, and Heather Mills has been caught in more than a few lies. Her early modeling career, she always told people, very sketchy, and she claimed to be a catwalk model, earning, $350,000-$400,000 a year. Really? Okay, but there's proof. Basically no evidence. Mm-hmm. There's no photos of her. She doesn't appear in Vogue. She wasn't in anybody's fashion shows. So the only thing that you can really find of her are sort of late 80s, what many people were doing, trying to be noticed for a video or whatever, wearing striped bathing suits with big hair and Reeboks, or high heels.
Right.
Okay, so her ex-husband, Alfie Carmel, he questioned basically almost everything that she made when she wrote her autobiography.
Heather Mills.
Alfie Carmel, her first husband, said, she told me so many lies that if she said it was raining, I would have checked.
I believe it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's good.
Heather claimed, of course, in her book, she claimed that every single man that she ever had any kind of encounter with proposed to her within 7 days of meeting.
Wow.
Yeah. She was just like that. She wrote that in her book. And so there you have it. She was given a serious allowance by Paul McCartney during their marriage. And they were very much,
they had a baby together.
Yes, but they went to Beverly Hills and went to thing. She was really into all this society stuff.
She was into being a celebrity.
Yeah. Like, for example, they would go to the, Adopt a Minefield gala that was held every year at the Beverly Hilton in November. They were kind of regulars for several years at that. And, I'm sure she'd have Paul get a big table. But Paul McCartney gave Heather Mills an annual allowance of $700,000.
Okay.
A credit card. And then he just bought her jewelry all the time.
So she had $700,000 cash plus a credit card to buy whatever she wanted. So
yes.
That was just cash.
Yeah, okay. That was just cash. She was also given $750,000 to buy an office in West London for her
health food thing or whatever she was
wanted
doing
to do.
Remember?
Her settlement that she got from Paul, which was a huge one, was a little less than what she expected. After she fired her lawyer, Heather Mills decided to represent herself in court and demanded... She wanted
$50 million.
She wanted $5 million a year, that would have been over $120 million.
Oh, I thought it was just 50. Okay.
And this was because she said she'd gotten accustomed to this lifestyle.
How many years were they married?
They were together 10 years almost.
Did they get married right away?
Well, no, they didn't get married right away, but they were together, blah, 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 since 1999, didn't divorce.
And they don't sign prenups over in the UK.
That's right.
They don't sign prenups.
And anyway, but and she said that she needed $1 million a year for holidays, that she needed $250,000 a year clothing allowance, that he needed to pay all this, and that she also needed $50,000 for equestrian activities, even though she no longer rode. And the one reason why she didn't get the $100 million or $125 million she was wanting and just got the $50 million is the judge, she told so many stories and lies in court that he didn't believe her. So she ended up getting about $50 million and included properties in the UK and New York. And of course, one of her most famous things she did at the end of their divorce thing, we forget about this. She famously poured a jug of water over Paul McCartney's attorney, Fiona Shackleton, after the settlement was announced.
In court.
And she spent the settlement in 22 months.
Oh, my. 50
million? Tell me you're kidding me.
No, I am not kidding
Tell me you're kidding me, because we haven't heard a follow-up, and we probably haven't seen a picture of Beatrice, their love child.
Yeah, well, they were, you know, she said that most of the money she gave away to charity or put it into ethical businesses or paid for a couple of properties for her daughter's future security, like she would need to do that. I could never sit with millions of pounds in the bank that could make matters change. So she's, it's by her own admission that the 50 million is gone.
Yeah. Oh my word.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And,
wow.
Yeah, I know. It really is. You think, well, how could someone go through that? I had forgotten about her dumping the water.
I did too.
And you know, we were on the air. We were obsessed with this.
Of course we were.
Story though about, you know, how could Paul have been so mizzled?
And he was.
And he was, but it was because of the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
This is why kids do get upset with one of their parents. If somebody that has floozy, hussy, gold digger, whatever name you want to put on
intentions.
That
you can feel it.
That you can feel it. And you're like, my vulnerable mom or dad, this person is just going to totally.
Beatrice looks like a young Stella McCartney. I'm looking at pictures of her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she. Her reputation at the end of that divorce was...
Oh, no one could stand her.
Because the judge, he accused her of make-believe, inconsistency, and lying. And she was. He told her she was a less than impressive witness during the six-day hearing who wholly exaggerated the extent of her wealth before she met her now ex-husband. And she got just a fifth of what she was asking for, which was still a lot.
Okay, they were only married for 6 years.
Yeah, I know. But still, they were together like before that. And in his judgment, the judge told Heather Mills that she had lost her sense of reality when she met and married Paul McCartney. The wife, for her part, must have felt rather swept off her feet by a man as famous as the husband. I think this may well have warped her perception, leading her to indulge in all this make-believe. And the judge described the couple's relationship as one of considerable volatility. There were good times, there were bad times, and the relationship always left in the husband's mind, meaning Paul McCartney, of question of whether he and the wife would be ultimately right for each other. It's hard to be married to somebody who's a serial liar.
Oh, my gosh.
About everything, you know?
Yep. Yeah,
and then can't stand your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he...
She had to get rid of her name, McCartney.
Yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm.
She had to do that. So kind of that, Paul McCartney had a rebound marriage and was humiliated in front of the whole world.
Yeah. He was.
But he gets the last laugh because he did meet someone who's has her own money. How great was that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
Perfect.
Perfect. She's a trucking heiress.
Well, so you didn't know if they were liking you for your money or for you.
I think that's
what really, really rich people have to deal with.
Yeah.
Problems.
And maybe a beetle.
Yeah.
But she was just, I guess, you know.
Not a gold digger.
Yeah, there you go. Here you go.
Nice you gold digger. Not a gold digger.
Still the best song Kanye ever did.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe she was, Heather Mills. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why you see her periodically pop up on these British shows, dancing, ice skating.
Yeah, she's
Celebrity
dancing on
Big Brother.
Ice, she did that, yeah.
She does that just
she's
to
like
bring
a
D-lister. In some money, but you know, hopefully she's getting, you know, she's got money from her properties that she didn't spend all her property money. All right, that's
it.
That's what we got for you. All right, we'll be back with favorite headlines. Well, here's to the hearts that you're going to break.
As a slap bracelet. Well, there's little Jason Mraz. Have it all. He's coming to a certain thing in August.
Yeah, which we won't Tuesday talk about night. Right now.
Okay. A favorite headline today. Blue Ivy does not like watching her famous parents act sexy. Someone took a video of her at the concert, and when they're doing, her parents are kind of getting all sexy, she's just like, lifts up her eyebrows, puts her hands over her face, and ducks down.
Like any kid would do when they're seeing their parents behave that
way. She's the funniest thing ever. She's funny.
She's very cute. Like
she really
when she
is.
Calmed her mom down from clapping too much at that one thing, that was just the my Grammys. Favorite. Yeah. That kid is just, I get a kick out of her.
She's darling.
Darling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she's not even that old.
No, like that's, she's five or six.
Six.
I mean, to think that your mom has already embarrassed you at six, but, you know, really Blue Ivy is like probably maybe just 10, just in terms of experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
What else do we have for you? The Creed 2 trailer was posted today. It brings your favorite characters back for more.
Did anyone see Creed 1?
Oh, yes.
It was so good.
Was it?
Yes.
I don't think I've seen
Sylvester Stallone, the comeback movie?
Mm-hmm.
Apollo? Oh, it was so good. Yes, it was so, so good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
it was.
I look forward to this one.
And Tessa Thompson.
She's back.
She's
she was in
it.
The first one. That was his girlfriend, right?
Yes.
All right. I remember you saw that and loved it. I have not seen it.
We loved it because it's Rocky and Adonis. It was really, really well done.
That's
and I
what,
feel like
yeah.
Sylvester Stallone got a supporting actor nom, didn't he?
Yeah.
For Creed? Yes, he did. Or Golden Globe. Maybe
something
a Golden
like
Globe.
Yeah,
but he did get
good.
Recognition because he it was did. A good original story and a good, you know, follow-up. So, and Michael B. Jordan, I mean, we've been crushing on him since Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah. Love
time.
Him.
I never would have predicted watching Friday Night Lights and Tim Riggins and Tammy Taylor and, you know, Clear Hearts and all that stuff, that Michael B. Jordan would be the one to have the big movie career out of that group.
Yeah.
And that Jesse Plemons would be the big TV.
Oh, he is a big
and
TV
character
star.
Actor.
Yeah, no
we
kidding.
Were expecting him. Is it just hard to be beautiful and handsome in Hollywood sometimes?
I guess.
Tim Riggins, Taylor Kitsch. Well, we'll see
There's
what happens.
Still time.
Yeah, we've got time.
Okay. All right. This is also posted. It's a fun video. Cher and James Corden playing Spill Your Guts or Fill Your Guts.
She is a cute giggler. And she was just appalled that of all these foods that were on the table, because some of them were English delicacies.
Yes.
I can't believe that I didn't tape it last night.
Yes.
I know
tape
it.
Tonight.
I have.
Yeah,
I always tape tomorrow. It. I just didn't for some reason.
So and then tomorrow we're going to be at the Galleria. People, we're going to be at
Ro Wolf.
Yep. Come and see us. Okay. We would love to see you.
Yes.
And
we're
gathering food and money for the Second Harvest Heartland. Mm-hmm. And we do like being out on the road. And we are very excited to be in a boutique.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Also, a quick reminder, Kevin Costner's new show debuts tonight.
Yes. I know.
Yellowstone, 9 o'clock on the Paramount.
A modern Western.
Yes.
It looks kind of like it could be good and soapy, I'm soapy. Here for it.
Okay. I hope it is.
I do, too.
What channel network is it?
Paramount.
The one that American Woman is on.
Okay, so it can be
Spike
a soapy.
TV.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Tori Spelling photoshopped a body positivity bathing suit picture. Is that funny or sad?
It's sad.
What did she do?
She posted a thing about after having her fifth baby, you know, that she, you know, my body didn't bounce back the way it did with the first four, but I've been working at it and my hard work is starting to pay off and the whole damn thing is photoshopped.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's sad.
Well, I'm sad for Tori that she has so many kids with that guy.
Yeah.
But
she says regular photos. I don't know. It's just kind of just.
I thought one of the funniest things, the most interesting things we learned today is when we talked to Ellen Hildebrand about her new book, The Perfect Couple.
Yeah.
That her book, the only book that really has ever been optioned, the Beach Hotel was optioned by
The Beach Club.
By Aaron Spelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that would be that still would be a good idea.
I know
I'd be
it.
Here for the Beach Club being set in Nantucket, like an updated Love Boat.
We had the hotel.
Give all these actors something to do.
Yeah, we had the hotel, but it was in San Francisco at the Fairmount.
And wasn't that like a spinoff of Falcon Crest?
Yes, it was.
Yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Falcon Crest was a spinoff of Knott's Landing?
No.
Dallas?
No.
What? No, I thought it was Knott's Landing.
Was it Falcon Crest?
Falcon Crest was a spinoff of something.
Wow.
Jeez. All right.
All right. Why didn't Duchess Meghan wear a name tag at the Royal Ascot?
Because of the material of her dress. So, like, Prince Harry had his Royal Ascot HRH. It had
and Catherine had it too, Princess Catherine or whatever we're calling her.
Yes, but she didn't have to because of the material on her
dress.
And so it was, they were like, no, no, you don't need to because it would be wrecked, Julia.
Okay.
That beautiful, beautiful linen dress that could go to Africa on safari. Did not, because, oh my gosh, this is how great detail they're paying.
We're getting everything.
Oh yeah, to everything. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Falcon Crest was a spinoff of Dynasty.
There you go. We knew it was a spinoff of something, damn it.
Yep.
All right.
All right, what else do we have? Princess.
She did put her name tag, by the way, getting back to the Duchess of Sussex. She did. And I've done this before where I haven't wanted to ruin my material.
Right.
She put it on her hand, her little clutch.
Yeah.
I see a picture of it. Mm-hmm. She had it on her clutch facing out.
Okay, but why wouldn't they have the magnet kind now that everyone has?
I don't know. Because is something for you to ask the Royal Ascot people.
I mean,
it's
seriously.
Not a British, it's the Royal Ascot people putting this on, not the Queen.
All right, because the magnet ones don't ruin your clothes anymore, and everyone
they're
uses
very
them.
Expensive. Maybe that's why.
They're the royal family. Really?
But come the royal on. Family is in plain. The Royal Ascot is right. Just something that they attend with their presence. They are not in charge of the name tags, you peasant.
Oh, silly me.
Colin
we'll see you tomorrow at Royal Wolf at the Galleria.
Yes, get ready to shop. Bring us some non-perishable food. It'll be nice to see everybody.